All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. All right, it's 2:00 p.m. September 12th, 2024. Now, I got the garage door half open, so you might be hearing cars and shit. I normally do all my podcasts like 3 or 4 in the morning, so you know, you might hear some cars and shit. Hey, that's the way it is. So, you know, and I'm here with Chad. What's up, Chad?
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. You sent me that YouTube clip and it was interesting as fuck. So I want to hear more about it. So, I mean, me and the listeners are learning about you at the same time. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was in the Army and the Navy. I started off my Army career doing my mechanic stuff. You know, I was a 91 Juliet. But then when I was in the National Guard, I ended up getting the search and extraction mission. And that was really cool. So search and extraction, or they call used to call it search and rescue, was a really fun operation to be part of, a little bit more intense than just being a mechanic.
Right.
And then I was kind of like, I was dealing with a lot of stuff mentally. So I asked the Army to put me on a desk job, like kind of reclass me to something more like IT. And they said no. And so I went to a Navy recruiter when my contract was coming up. And I said, hey, I would like to do something that's a little bit more technical. They got me into cyber. And then in the Navy, I was something called a CTN, which is a cryptological technician, and networks was like my field. Yeah. So I did cyber defense and offense for the government. I did some cool things with the NSA, but most of the time I was a government contractor for private, you know, corporations working for the Space Force and the Air Force. So that's kind of what my military career was.
Year did you go in?
I went to boot camp. My first boot camp was in 2010.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about the NSA? Because we're here at Conspiracy Soldiers, we're kind of against all that shit. But I just want to hear somebody that's been involved in it. That's interesting. I want to hear about that.
All right. Well, the NSA, of course, I'm not going to leak any secrets or anything like that. But here's what I've noticed. Here's what I've noticed about being in there is both sides are never telling, like, it's never the full truth. And what's very interesting is, like, in order to tell the truth, you would have to give up secrets that is like staples to national security. So it's like when people start making up these like conspiracy theories, the conspiracy theories are wrong with some like truth in their premise.
That's the way they do it.
But also at the same time, what's being reported to the public is about the same thing, where it's like, it's not truth, but has a premise of truth. Does that make sense? And so it's like, when you're in the middle, you kind of see both sides and you're like, it's neither. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's, and it makes sense. Like I start to understand why the government kind of does what they do. But here's the thing is like, we should be, in my opinion, going through that, we should be a lot more grateful that we are in the position that we are in the fact that we are in the United States. And what I mean by that is Russia, China, and other, you know, foreign actors, they have no red tape. If they want to spy on you, they're just going to spy on you. You know what I mean? They don't have any sort of bureaucracy to get in the way of that. In the United States, that's not like, there's so much red tape to get approval to do anything. And that's the thing. It's like, because we protect our citizens, like we have an ethos more than what a lot of people realize on the back end and protection of citizens. Like a lot of the Western culture kind of has that, like England has that, Australia has that. And so
I don't know, man, England's one of the most surveilled countries. I mean, they got cameras and shit. Like, if you're driving a gas vehicle, you know, they charge you so much per mile or whatever. It's getting crazy over there.
So yeah, so we have to look at a different level. So one where it's like just putting cameras everywhere in the public because that is like open space, they get away with that. Does that make sense? However, when it comes to invading your like privacy, like the Fourth Amendment kind of search and seizure, there's actually a lot of red tape, a lot more than what people would realize in order to run any sort of investigation on anybody, both foreign and domestic. So there's, you know, a little bit less red tape when you start, you know, doing things domestic. But anywho, just I'm trying to say things without getting in trouble. But like,
no, I don't want to do that. When did you get out? Exactly. When did you get out? Because things change every 4 years. You know what I mean?
2021 or 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you was in for 20 years. Right?
No. Like 10, 11
oh,
years.
Oh, 10 years. 10. Okay, yeah. Same here. About the same for me. All right, but go anyway, ahead.
What I was saying about, just to recap that, is like there's a lot more red tape. And the thing is, like, these technologies exist and these styles of war, the new style of war exist. And like our enemies have them. And they have no red tape. And then so anyway, it's like, how do you fight back against that with the same tools while at the same time honoring your own people and fighting a game with a moral system that your enemies don't have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think the United States actually does an incredible job in comparison to the rest of the world. Could we do better? And it's like every time we do better, we actually inhibit ourselves from fighting this war that Russia and China are playing dirty with. Does that make sense? So we actually have pretty good stipulations and red tape for protecting our own citizens a lot more than what people would realize.
All right. I appreciate that insight because, like, I just feel like it's, you know, this show, we talk about globalism and shit all the time. You know what I mean? But that's good to hear from somebody that's involved with the NSA and all that shit. And, you know, what else you got on that?
Basically that I agree with a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
That are like more high level. But when it comes to just that part, because I just worked missions with the NSA, like that's what my Navy attachment was to.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't like way high up in it. It was just, I knew at my level and like all the training that we had to do, like most of my work at the beginning was just going through training on what I was and was not allowed to do. And it was very lots of red tape in order to act on anything. So just in that sense, I knew that, like, you know what I mean? The Edward Snowden thing and stuff was a lot of BS. That he was doing. I think Edward Snowden just basically had an ego on him. You know what I mean? Because you kind of get trained on all those people. Anybody who was like a, you know, whistleblower or things like that, you get trained heavily on them. And we do what we did. We learned like what mistakes were made, things like that. So yeah, that, I guess in that sense. But when it comes to more conspiracy theories, like I, for example, think the government and the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies and the food companies are all working against us, especially veterans,
right,
in order to make the most money off of us before we die an early death. So that way the government doesn't have to pay us any more money.
Right. I hear you. And Snowden, yeah, I kind of see that. Like when I watch his videos, it kind of seems like an act. You know what I mean? But what do you think about Julian Assange?
You're going to have to inform me on that one.
You don't know nothing about him?
Uh-uh. No, I live under a rock, so.
Oh. Never mind. Yeah. It's WikiLeaks, the WikiLeaks and Hillary Clinton's emails and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Though I definitely know about the WikiLeaks. So when it comes to politicians, I think politicians get away with murder. And if I were to make the same mistakes that Hillary made or that Trump made or whatever, I would be in jail.
Right.
Like I would be, they tell you specifically in your training, like, don't do these things. And then politicians do these things and then they laugh while they're under investigation.
Right.
Because they know nothing's going to happen and they make stupid jokes.
Right.
But I would be like, it would be like tyranny if I did those things.
Be under the jail.
I would, for sure. So I hate that. I hate the imbalance of government. And what I hate even more is for-profit influencing our government. And I think that was one of the most dangerous things that could possibly happen. And that's what's happening to our government now.
Right. Like what's his name? Eye Patch McCain. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Dan, what's his name? He was a SEAL. He's in the Congress now.
No.
Never mind. God damn it. It's not coming to me, but when he got in office, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And he's like one of the biggest inside traders right now. You know, like he just fucking sold us out, man. Like,
yeah.
Dan Crenshaw, the guy with the eye patch. Oh,
Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He's a fucking sellout, man. You know, they find out what kind of, you know, like when COVID came around, they found out like what they were going to rule on. And then like they invest in like 3M, the people that make the masks and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, or Johnson & Johnson, Moderna. You know what I'm saying? Like, they find out ahead of time, and then that's how they make all their money, man. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, pharmaceutical, just like what you're talking about, is something I'm extremely against. Now, I'm actually kind of sketch talking about it because you put yourself on an extreme target list when you decide to talk about them. And I mean, right now, thank goodness, like there's people way more important than me who are talking about it. So hopefully they'll direct their attention towards, you know, the more famous influencers. But right now, pharmaceutical companies are by far the largest lobbyists and investors and donors towards campaigns and towards politicians and towards lobbying, to the point where pharmaceutical companies, it's either 1600 or 1800. I have to look at the numbers again. But over 1,500 employees do nothing but lobby in the government. And if you think of how big a corporation is, think about 1,500 employees, 1,600 employees. That's a giant corporation. And that's just their lobbying. That's just their lobbying department. That doesn't even include the money that they are lobbying. So you have 1,600 to 1,800 people a day who their daily job is to go and influence law and influence politicians.
Right.
And then what's even weirder, and this is like where my conspiracy theory has taken me to, is that the pharmaceutical companies are so powerful that they make laws that's the only thing you're allowed to prescribe are their drugs. And so like, for example, this is like 22 vets a day are committing suicide and 135 people a day are committing suicide. 68% of those people committing suicide a day are white males. And so like, it's weird because they're the ones, you know, I mean, the narrative against white males right now is extremely negative.
Right.
Regardless if you agree with it or not, they're the ones who are the most disenfranchised and they're the ones committing suicide at the highest rate. And so
have you looked how many of them are on SSRIs?
So quite a bit of them. And what's even weirder is one. Okay. So SSRIs are anywhere from like, I'm going to give you these percentages and they might be a little off. So sorry if I say them, but they're only shown to be 45 to 60% effective and only 30 to 45% of the people who take SSRIs go into remission, which I think are horrible and atrocious numbers.
Right.
And in addition to that, enough studies have been done to show that a good chunk of people who go on SSRIs become more depressed or start acting on suicidal tendencies. And that, to me, and this has been going on for decades, that to me is like, no, that drug cannot absolutely not go out into the public. However, since they are the ones who lobby, that is the only drug basically that can go out into the public. And what I mean by that is like when you are a veteran, a combat veteran especially, and you go in with anxiety and depression, there's two things that they're going to tell you. The world is better with you in it, and here's an SSRI. And they can lose their license. They can lose their license if they don't give the SSRI, and they can lose their license if they give too much or the wrong SSRI. And it's weird that we're all just like gravitating around this horseshit that is the SSRI that has little to no effect on most people, or the exact opposite effect on a good chunk of people, to the point where the FDA has to write in a black label, may cause suicidal tendencies, and then people are still popping them in anyway. And so to me, I think that shows that the pharmaceutical companies have done an effective job saying, like, hey, we will invest in your campaign and we will invest in you as a politician as long as you make the law that we are the only people who can prescribe these drugs, yeah, right?
Right.
At certain rates, because, and then they'll go around and say all these other drugs and all these others, medication and exogenous chemicals are, you know, bad, but our exogenous chemicals that mess with neurotransmission are good. And so now it's like you're trapped, and not only is your brain fucked up and your physiology fucked up and your body fucked up from combat and prolonged periods of stress by being a veteran, but on your daily job is stressed out even without, you know, combat. And so then your body can't even harbor the right physiological processes to, you know, deal with the stress. But on top of that, rather than fixing that lifestyle and that environment and that habit, you're just given more drugs to deal with it. And these drugs lead to worse outcomes a lot of the time. So I'm under the conspiracy now that they have this lineup where it's like, hey, what about these drugs that are killing our veterans? And they say, well, there's enough research to say it's okay. So make it so it's the only drug that we feed our veterans. And then if their life ends earlier, then you don't have to pay them the hundreds of millions of dollars in VA benefits that you owe them because they died off sooner. And so that's kind of like the way I'm looking at it right now. I don't know what other outcome to look at. For the past 23 years since 9/11, you know, by the way, which was yesterday, right? So we're like exactly 23 years after 9/11. The study I looked at was 20 years after 9/11, and these numbers are horrible. 7,000, I want to say 7,075 or 7,057. I'm mad that I don't remember the exact number, because we should honor all of our fallen soldiers, but have died in the line of duty between 2001 and 2021. Okay. And so that study was done 9/11, 20 years after the fact. Over, at that time, over 30,000 veterans had committed suicide, which means that we are killing ourselves four times more efficiently than the enemies of the United States. Okay. And that's insane number. And so 8,000 people a year, veterans a year, commit suicide. Over 5,000 of those veterans are over 50 years age and older, which shows me it's a chronic illness, because World War One and World War Two and Civil War vets did not run into that issue. And in addition to that, you know, when you're looking at the treatment between 2001 and 2021, which is atrocious, you're telling me in the 20 years and now the 23 years that you have had the responsibility of taking care of our veterans, that's the best you can come up with, and it hasn't changed in 23 goddamn years?
Right.
You're telling me this is the best you have for the people who sacrifice their lives, their bodies, their minds, in order to protect you as a politician, in order to protect you as a doctor, in order to protect you as a lobbyist, in order to continue, you know, like living the way our nation does, you know, I mean, going to Afghanistan and protecting poppy fields. You're telling me that the best you have for our soldiers and our male population in general, or our population in general, is the world is better with you in it. Here's a goddamn SSRI, which have horrible results. And you're like, that's the best current intervention method. These are intervention methods. Hey, are you suffering from PTSD and suicidal tendencies, depression, chronic illness, gut issues? Yes. Okay. Well, the world is better with you in it. Here's an SSRI. That's all they got.
Right.
And so by curing myself with my three pillars, what I call straight stringles and stoicism, which we can get into later, I started to realize that it's all a load of shit. It's all a load of shit. They're full of shit. All they care about is money. All they care about is profit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the conspiracy theory I started going down, is not only with food, but with the insurance companies, with the pharmaceutical companies. And all they care about is profit. And the fact that the government is now in bed with corporations then the laws will always be in favor for profit, and the people who are the most profitable will continue to propagate that profit. That's right. Just the way it is. And there's, I don't know how else you could look at it any other way, and it's so blatant and apparent. And they're doing it at the cost of your health, my health, veterans' health, you know, strong, and the health of strong men. It's bullshit.
All right, man. I really respect what you're doing. I appreciate it. And I got to take a piss and grab another beer. I'm going to pause it.
Okay, all right? Sounds good.
All right. All right, we're back. All right, so the main focus here is your diet. Let's talk about that. Now, before you say anything, my thing is fasting, you know, and I think those two things kind of intertwine a little bit. You know what I mean? Because you're not taking in all the shit that they spray on the crops. You know what I mean? Like, you're giving your body time to detox itself. They talk about, you know, detox food, which is bullshit. The only detox is water, to me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Fasting and water.
Yeah. Right, right.
And it's got to be the right type of water. They're putting shit in our water.
I got an RO system.
Yeah, my boy. Yeah. Look at RO system is a way to do it. Is it? Hey, can I ask you about that? Is yours in plastic? Like in hard plastic, or is it in different casing?
No, they're in hard plastic.
Yeah, why? I'm trying to find an RO system that gets away from the plastic. You know, like microplastics are in everything. They're in our testicles. They're in dogs' testicles. Well, Every single man in the United States has plastic in their testicles.
Well, even if the RO system isn't plastic, the tubing is going to be plastic. I guess you get aluminum or metal or something, but I don't know. It's hard to find anything that doesn't have bullshit in it these days.
For real. Yeah, so the reverse osmosis is definitely a good option. I think the hard plastic is definitely going to be better than soft plastic, like drinking from water bottles. I'll try not to do that.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Trying to get away from
fluoridated water. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody does that these days, too, and it's like they think they're being healthy. I'd rather drink out of the fucking tap than drink that shit.
Yeah, I would. So like here in Colorado, there's a lot of springs. And so we'll go to the freshwater springs and fill up water for like a week with a bunch of glass jars. And I think that's like one of the best ways you're going to get it, you know? Like,
yeah. Where are you at in Colorado?
Colorado Springs.
Okay. My brother-in-law lives in Fort Collins.
How far? Yeah. Two and a half.
Couple hours. All right. Yeah. All right. So let's hear about your diet.
So, the diet is, so steaks, that's like the one of the major pillars. If not, I wouldn't say any of them are the most important, but one that is the, like, all of them break down if you don't do this one is proper diet. And what you were saying about fasting is incredibly important.
Right.
And so what's almost more important than what you're putting in your body is what you're not putting in your body. And right now, the standard American diet is just a load of BS. And they say like up to 70% of kids right now, their calorie intake are super or ultra processed foods.
Yeah, it's and all bullshit. There was a
diet done not too long ago that showed that being put on a junk food diet decreased the size of the hippocampus within 1 week and started having negative mental outcomes.
Is that part of the brain or what?
Yeah, the hippocampus is – okay, so there's obviously a lot of different lobes to the brain, but there's the amygdala, the hypothalamus, and the hippocampus. They all have kind of close relationship in the sense that the amygdala, when feeling threatened, sends a signal to the hypothalamus, which is like the reptilian part of your brain, which then releases your fight or flight chemicals to make – in order to give you the chemicals to have the proper stress responses to react. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then a signal is sent to the hippocampus, and the hippocampus is like a little memory card of all the things that cause that to happen. Where if something happens to you and it doesn't cause a fight or flight response, it gets sent to the prefrontal cortex, which is more like the logical reasoning, like the neocortex, the frontal cortex, the prefrontal cortex. These are kind of the parts that distinguish us from other animals. And so it's like kind of like the reptilian part of the brain, the mammalian part of the brain, and like the human part of the brain. And they all have three different distinctions, which is why I think that in life you should do something for mind, body, and soul, in which I say do something that reminds you that you're still an animal. Do something that reminds you that you're uniquely human, which means that you separate yourself from the animals, and do something every day that reminds you that you're humanly unique and that amongst all these humans, you are an individual. And so it's kind of like a way in which we conform, and then a way when we express like individualism. But anywho, so the hippocampus is kind of like the part that we all kind of vibe with, in the sense that we respond to fight or flight. And so what ends up happening a lot, especially with panic disorder or PTSD, is there's this thing called amygdala hijacking, where the amygdala starts sending things to the hypothalamus to make us feel like we're about to die. And so we go into fight or flight. And that becomes more dysregulated because the amygdala becomes swollen, but the hippocampus starts to decrease in attrition. It starts to go down in size and start acting improperly. Are out of whack, kind of. And so they have associated quite a few different things with the hippocampus. The smaller the size of the hippocampus, the more likely you're going to have depression, and the more likely you're going to suffer from PTSD. So as soldiers before combat and after combat, the ones who had lower sizes of their hippocampus volume ended up having much higher rates of being diagnosed with PTSD. And so like your ability to handle stress and have proper brain and neural function, sorry, is kind of dependent on the fact that your body needs certain nutrition, certain energy, and not being inflamed. And so we start to move back a little bit now. What is a proper nutrition for our brain? And our brain is 70% fat, saturated fat, right? It is a very huge part of our brain.
Like
And
cholesterol,
it,
right?
cholesterol is one of the most important things. It's a precursor to testosterone and hormones and a lot of other processes that exist in the brain. And right now, everyone's demonizing cholesterol and demonizing fat consumption.
And
And
salt.
salt, yeah, they're demonizing salt. It's horrible. And what sucks is instead, there's like, hey, eat this processed food, this ultra processed food, which is mostly carbs and GMO. And you, like you talked about, glyphosate. And other defense chemicals, which are literally poisoning your body. But on top of that, your brain actually will become insulin resistant. And then your mitochondria all over your body, but especially in your brain, will start lacking in their efficiency to function properly. And so, what's very interesting about that is that's why I call it a chronic issue, is because you remember MREs. There's literally, and you can go into the army.mil website and look up MREs. It's all processed food.
Oh, for
And
sure, dude.
it will say in there straight up, there is no fresh food in here. All of your calories in here are processed, preserved food. Which, by the way, we have to take it with a grain of salt. Like, that's going to be easy, the easiest way to get calories to your soldiers. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
cost efficient and long shelf life. I get it. But you're allowed to be on an MRE for 21 days at a time. And God knows all the junk you can get in a DFAC as well. And
Right.
if you don't know these things, the only shit that you're eating are carbs, and you know what I mean, the likelihood that you're getting a lot of heavy saturated fat in a good ratio is pretty low. And you know, everyone's like, well, I want lean chicken, I want lean meat, and I want, plant-based protein. It's a load of shit.
Let
And
me let me
so
let me
anyway,
break in real quick. So that's how I got into fasting because are you familiar with JRTC down in
No.
Louisiana? Okay, so I was 11 Bravo. Now they send all the infantry units down to JRTC, and whoever scores the best, well, they're the first ones to deploy. Well, I was with the 10th Mountain Division. Now, ever since they reactivated in like 92, they're on. They're the first ones to deploy anywhere. So I'm a little proud of that. But now, with that being said, when we went to JRTC, all right, so the opponents are called Op 4. So they work there. That's their job. You know, they know that terrain inside and out. So anytime our fucking trucks or our, okay, you know Miles Gear, right? You know what Miles
Gear?
Yeah. That's
how you're going to have.
Okay, so everybody wears a harness and then you zero your weapon. Every time you fire a blank, it shoots a laser, and that laser will activate the harness. All right? You get it?
Yeah.
Okay, so they had that shit on the trucks, on the helicopters, everything. So when you go to JRTC, you go to the box. It's 2 weeks, and they call it the box. So every truck, every helicopter that was carrying our food and water got hit, and we didn't get shit. So if somebody died, we would take their canteens and try to share it. You know, we didn't have no food for, I'm going to say, a week, and very little water. We were sharing water, you know, and but when I'll tell you what, when we got out of the box, all I could think about was getting a fucking drink of water. I didn't give a flying fuck about food. You know what I mean? So that's what it told me, like, man, this is all bullshit. We don't need these three meals a day and all this bullshit. And they don't do it in any other country. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, you just, when you go through some shit like that, you just realize that it's all propaganda from the government, you know?
For sure. And the food companies, like, a lot of people don't know that when cigarettes were going out of popularity in the 80s, the two biggest cigarette companies bought like the largest food companies and made them addictive as shit. It's like out there. You can Google it. Right. And then on the other side, the only healthy food, you know, touted as healthy food out there is touted by and you almost monopolized by the Seventh Day Adventists. And they're religiously anti-meat. So even if you're like, hey, I don't want to eat this processed food, I get that. And you look up how to eat a healthy diet. Everything that's been published, it feels like, in the nutritional industry for a very long, very long time, were published and studied by the Seventh-day Adventists. And they're the ones who kind of like own and monopolize the nutritional, like to be called a nutritionist or dietitian. They kind of regulate all that education and all that study. So you're kind of fucked on both sides. And you're saying right now, go ahead.
Have you ever heard of Edward Bernays?
These names sound familiar. I'm so bad with names, but
he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And he changed the word. He created, let me think for a second. All right, so during the wars, and when you brought up cigarettes, that's what made me think of Edward Bernays, because he influenced women to start smoking by putting out all these commercials, you know, making them look sexy. And you know what I'm saying? Like, back in the day, it was frowned upon for women to smoke. And so he also created bacon and eggs for breakfast, which, you know what I mean? That was, it's all propaganda. Like that was these bacon and egg companies paying him for his propaganda. And he also created the, you know, the poster, Uncle Sam, I want you for the U.S. Army. Mm-hmm. That was Edward Bernays.
Yeah, he was a genius in convincing us to spend money that we didn't need.
Right. There you go. So you know who I'm talking about.
I do. Yes. Yeah. He was very influential. And he actually had teamed up with Dr. Kellogg, if I'm not mistaken. And Dr. Kellogg was the, I shouldn't say anything bad about a religious leader because he'll get me in trouble. But he did some very interesting things. One, like basically creating cereal, bland cereal, to chemically castrate us and to be, you know, not.
Yep.
And then he also would circumcise boys and girls without anesthesia to get them to stop masturbating. And it's said that he never even consummated his marriage because lust is sinful. So he teamed up with Bernays, Bermate. How do you say it?
Edward Bernays. Edward, right?
Bernays, yeah. And they teamed up together to do like what you're saying. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Like that was, it's all bullshit.
Propaganda.
Your brain is like, there's chemicals in your body that either act or react or don't act depending on what's happening in your environment. For example, when you get food, you get a dopamine release, because when you think about our ancestors, getting food was one of the most difficult tasks ever.
Right.
And so the precursor to that are motivational chemicals. So when you get dopamine, your motivational chemicals no longer are released. They're blocked. Right.
Yeah.
And so to wake up in the morning and get a bunch of TV. And so like, these are the three hardest things that were for humans, right? Was food, information, and sex. Those were the three most difficult things, like to earn your place in the tribe, to be able to mate and reproduce, things like that, you know? And now you can wake up in the first 5 minutes, you can freaking masturbate, watch all the information you want on reels.
Right, right.
And
you're
can shove 2,000 calories in your face in 30 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
So we're basically strung out, and we're dopamine addicts, and sugar is one of the most addictive drugs out there. And they've done an excellent job by saying breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Oh, by the way, what's the most important breakfast is this fortified cereal. And they get you hooked on this drug from the very first thing you do when you wake up.
Or a muffin or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. It's bullshit.
Yeah. And what sucks is when the second you put exogenous carbs into your body, okay, your insulin goes up. And when your insulin goes up to help you deal with the toxic blood sugar levels, it blocks your ability to access your fat stores, basically meaning that you don't run on ketones anymore. And our body's designed to run on ketones. And I was going to talk about that. Ketones are the only thing that can cross the blood-brain barrier, especially once your brain is insulin resistant. Insulin also blocks BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which helps rebuild the brain, including the hippocampus. And so just by like right in the morning being trained that it's healthy to eat carbs, you're just like poisoning your brain. And if you're suffering from PTSD and you have a shrunken hippocampus and a swollen amygdala, the likelihood that you can go and repair those processes keeps going down and down. As a matter of fact, you're just causing more inflammation to the brain, and you're causing more dysfunction to the regulation and work ethic, basically, of your mitochondria that are in your brain that propagates healthy function of the brain. So, which is all to say that from the get-go, these people have brainwashed us enough to convince us to poison ourselves, be strung out, and to be able to never recover, so that we're always dependent on whatever drugs are out there. Right, and so between the food companies poisoning us, the drug companies medicating us, and then making the drugs so unaffordable that we require insurance, those are three of the biggest lobbyists and donors in the government. And what's more interesting is they're all fucking government subsidized. So not only are we paying them directly, but they're also getting paid on the goddamn back end by our tax dollars.
Right.
So it's bullshit. It's all a fucked system. And we're lifelong customers of them.
Man, I'd love to have a revolution, but I don't fucking see a way out. You know what I mean? What can we do?
You know what I'm doing is I'm buying a plot of land. I'm going to homestead. I'm going to go to a state like Oklahoma, Arkansas, Nebraska, Tennessee, where they have homesteading tax breaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just disappear and make your own community, make your own vibe, make your own tribe, and stay away from the poison as much as possible. Raise your own food. Raise your kids outside of the government influence and the indoctrination, and raise your men to be strong. Raise your women to be powerful. You know what I mean? That, I think that's the only other option, unless you get a sailboat and you just go fucking AWOL.
I agree, man. I'd love to do that. I can't because my wife thinks I'm crazy. My kids are all grown. So I'm kind of stuck. But, you know, my perimeter is pretty secure, but we'll see what happens with the – I don't know. When this election happens, I'm kind of worried – worried about blue helmets and shit like that. I don't know how much you know about that, but.
Tell me.
The United. So the National Guard and the cops, they're not going to fucking turn on their own people. So all these immigrants that they're flooding through the border, are they being trained in another country and then sent here? You know what I'm saying? Like the United Nations blue helmets. You know, like, are they going to declare, like, some kind of emergency like COVID and then there can't be an election? I might be a little paranoid. I've been accused of that before.
They've done it before. At first, when Donald Trump lost the election, I was like, damn, he performed way worse than I thought he did. But then the more things that came out, I cannot believe that, like, that wasn't even heard. You know what I mean? They just completely shut down the valid notions for, like, a recount. You know what's even weirder is, like, George Bush. Do you remember the hanging chads with George Bush and Al Gore? Was it Al Gore?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They did a recount in Florida, like, no problem. But they literally had dead people voting and, like, you know, people, like – there's only 13,000 registered voters in this district. Somehow 18,000 people voted. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So that's enough to call in an investigation of at least of something, but they weren't heard. So I kind of became more of a conspiracy theory on that. And so I get nervous if they're able to do that, what are they going to do this election just to keep Trump out? And not that I'm the biggest Trump fan, but I am definitely – I am kind of outspoken against a lot of what liberals are doing. So, right.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to vote for Trump, you know, mm-hmm. but he's not the answer. And I don't think there is an answer. The answer is no federal government. It'll be state government. And when they start fucking up, you just go over there with torches and pitchforks. You know what I mean?
I think we had that. Yeah, that was Articles of Confederation. I believe in a feudalist system, but where I would diverge from you here is to say that I believe in not a feudalist system, sorry, a federal system. I believe in the federalist system, but we don't have a federalist system right now. We have a national system. And the whole idea, and a lot of people don't realize this, that we have based our government off of doing diligent research. You know, our founding fathers were geniuses, and we were lucky that we had like a pile of geniuses all in one place to decide to experiment with a new government creation and manifestation. And they looked past that history and they're like, what did all of these have wrong? And it was the centralization of power. The second power was able to be in too much in one area. Corruption happened, laws happened, and taxation happened and things like that, yep. Manipulation, to the point where then everything depended on that pillar. And so when it fell, it was drastic for the country. And so, for example, when Rome lost their republic, it went to Caesars and emperors, and they were so desperate to keep power that they were just giving away free handouts to their citizens to be favorable. And then yep. that didn't go well with other powerful people. And then eventually, like, they were poor, so what would they have to do is they would have to go ransack other people and conquer other people in order to maintain their own wealth, you know what I mean, because they're giving so much away. And so they turned into a military-industrial complex, to which eventually fell, right?
Right.
They couldn't agree on anything. That's what we've developed here, is the republic is getting to the point where it can't make decisions. So now we have things like executive orders. We have too much power in one spot, and so the government is becoming kind of like gridlocked. And so now we give the president like way too much influence. You know what I mean? And yeah. Anyway, to go back, the entire thing was, this was to be avoided by the founding fathers. Everything about this was to be avoided. There wasn't to be too much power in one area. It was the separation of powers, the three different branches which have checks and balances. It was literally to avoid exactly what we're talking about, a nationalist system. And so then a federalist system was exactly what you're talking about. It's like, hey, we're unified in the sense that We can collect taxes in order to do things for the good of the country, but not in order to rule the rest of the country. The ruling aspect of the country needs to be at the local level. And that was the vision of the Constitution and the Federalist system. So it pisses me off that that's just been thrown underway and people don't realize that that was very deliberate to avoid exactly what's happening now. And so
yeah, they think that the people don't realize that the shit that happened in Rome, we're really approaching that right now. What was going on? I mean, there's so much similarity. If you look back in history, every time any dynasty collapsed, it was all the same shit. The shit that's going on right now in the United States.
Yeah. And, you know, that's when they looked at that. And so anyway, I believe in the Federalist system wholeheartedly. I do not believe in the system we're in right now as a Federalist system. I believe we're a nationalist system, which is why I believe that, like, you know, Republicans and Libertarians, if they do it right, they get less government involved and bring more things back to the states, which is why I supported the extraction of Roe versus Wade, because that just brought more power back to the states. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
But
right.
to continue what you were saying, too, it's like they had so much foresight, our founding fathers, because they knew, they watched the Roman church, the Catholic Church take over Rome. They watched the churches take over feudalist systems, right? Like monarchies, and to the point where the church had more power than the king. The church had more power than Rome. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so separation of church and state to avoid that. Like they thought about all, they talked about this. They philosophized about this. They had open discourse and arguments about it to create a government to avoid all the follies of the past. And what's insane is like we're falling down all the same rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that what we're falling to is not a religion, an organized religion. We're falling to an organized ideology,
right.
A tyrannical ideology of the left.
I really don't think Rome ever fell. I think it became the Vatican, and the Vatican is basically running the whole Western, the West, you know, they're running us. And they've got a fucking stranglehold on the United Nations, all that shit, you know, all these three-letter agencies, the World Economic Forum, all that bullshit. And I don't know, man. I don't know if you're religious, but I think it's like spiritual warfare.
In a sense where I don't think that a lot of the idiots are fighting spiritual warfare. I just think that their mouthpiece is against proper spirituality. And that could be damaging. And when we aren't on the same page as a country, I would say, or let's say nation, as a nation, we're not on the same page when it comes to our spiritual and our moral values and our virtues. That's how nations fall apart.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And it's good that we can have open discourse, and it's good that we can, you know, have discussions and even arguments, I would say, about these things in order to build ourselves up. The fact that we're so far on the other side, I guess would define as like spiritual warfare, because it's like our virtues are so far off from one another that we're willing to like weaponize certain aspects to fight one another. Yeah, I would say by definition that would be like spiritual warfare. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's I don't know. So, I don't know. Did you want to plug anything or
what? Yeah,
do you have a podcast or what? I see Combat Carnivore there behind you.
Yeah. So, and I can talk about this a lot. And this is, something I've been diving deeply. And so, just to tell you a little bit about me, I'm a father of four. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I, got out of the government stuff. I got out of contracting. I got out of as much as I could away from normal society, started a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy, and I just homeschool and raise my kids, and nice. I absolutely love them.
Nice.
And I want to get them away from the poison, societal poison, environmental poison, food poison, pharmaceutical poison, you know what I mean? And TV poison, especially.
Right, right.
And so I decided, once I healed myself, that more veterans need to hear this. So I decided to take to the online world and try to get this message that if you're a veteran, you know what I mean? This is my kind of movement, make veterans great again. And I believe
Nice.
we can heal veterans through stake strangles and stoicism. And what I mean by that is you can heal veterans through a proper human diet, which is fasting and carnivore. Absolutely. And I don't believe that this processed food is a lot of this. I call it Frankenfood, which is like the current fruits and vegetables are good for our body. I don't think carbs are good for our body. I don't
Oh,
think
wait,
fiber is
let
good
me
for.
interrupt. Have you heard of this e-peel shit that they're putting on the vegetables and fruit? That's ridiculous, and it's been passed. I mean, unbelievable. Bill Gates is fucking, he's like the fucking Antichrist. I mean, he is, everything he does is seems to be evil to me.
Yeah, it sucks. He like brought good technology to the world and then just became a POS like more and more afterwards. And his like liberal beliefs, he's using his billions of dollars to influence his political and spiritual beliefs like on the rest of the world
Right.
and create narratives and use that money to influence government to be like, hey, this is what I want to do. And is I'm gonna make your life really fucking hard if you don't do it.
Right.
And he's profiting. I mean, look at him. Look at his body. Who would want their body to look like his body?
I don't,
And
he
look at the
needs a
way he
fucking
eats.
training bra, for Christ's sake.
And I'm usually not, so I don't go after political figures too much directly, but Bill Gates really pisses me off
He's a piece of
with what
shit,
he's doing.
big time.
Our bodies need red meat. And if he were a scientist, he would look and he would fucking see that we spent millions of years evolving to become who we are today, as meat eaters,
Right.
as hyper carnivore, hyper carnivorous, right? And our bodies depend, you know what I mean? Depend. Our mental health depends. Our physical health depends on red meat and ketones. Like when you start using glucose in that sense, you start breaking your body down. And you start, like, I won't get into it too much, but you literally start breaking down your body if you're not eating a proper human diet. And especially for those people with mental issues, we talked about like a little bit of like the hippocampus and BDNF. Like you're stopping all the processes to allow you to handle a stressful life. You know,
Right.
and our ancestors dealt with atrocities on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, just to wake up, get food, dodge poison, dodge animals trying to kill us, dodge our food trying to kill us, dodge, you know, nasty water, dodge like everything, dodge the weather. Just to do a daily like survival day would be a fucking trauma response for all the little bitches who live now.
Right.
And so,
And that goes back to fasting, right? So
yeah.
let's say you're out hunting for your family. Okay, it's gonna take all fucking day, and you're not gonna fucking eat until you bring it back to your family and let your wife and kids eat, right? So you're not gonna take, you're gonna go a long time without any fucking calories. That's just in our DNA. And
Absolutely.
yeah.
There's a
So,
guy. Th there was a guy who, he used to be like the leader in, like, exercise science, I want to say, but anywho, he was a big advocate for glucose all the time while you're working glucose, like sucking on a Jolly Rancher, I think, you know, while you're running. So anyway, he was like, I was completely wrong, and you know what he ended up doing? Everyone like got really mad at him because he was like, you need to fast, you need to go to ketosis. He ended up running 5 marathons in 5 days, completely fasted once he became
Nice.
fat adapted. And
Nice.
that completely coincides with our theories of the fact that you might chase down the herd for a few days and not eat and have enough energy to do it without dying. As a matter of fact, feel better as time goes on and then get the kill and bring it back to the family. And then you all feast for a while and then
Nice.
you go out again. And so what I'm saying is like these little bitches can't even make it to lunch without their fucking lattes. You know what I mean? And
Right.
what I'm saying is
Starbucks.
like you've become so soft. You become dopamine dependent. You've become triggered by everything because your bodies cannot handle stress.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is like you lose connection to your ancestors. You are designed. You are the alpha predator. your species, the DNA that fucking makes you, right, is the alpha predator of the planet. It's designed to deal with stress. It's designed to deal with hardships. And the fact that you can't even be outside for a few minutes without freaking out, that's the natural process of your brain. Okay? And so, like, one, stresses and traumatic events should not break you down. Veterans, if you feel like you are broken, and that's the way I felt, like, hey, I just feel broken, like I can't function. I guess this is the rest of the way, this is what I'm going to be like for the rest of my life. That's not the case.
Right.
You are designed to deal with traumas. What's happening is you're being fed a bunch of bullshit while you're deployed, before you're deployed, and when you get home, you're on the standard American diet. Right. And tobacco, alcohol, energy drinks, these are all things that not only will lower your testosterone, they'll lower your ability to increase BDNF or produce BDNF. They'll decrease the size of the hippocampus. They have a lot – they'll shrink the overall size of the brain. Like, crazy things start to happen. And the fact that you're not in ketosis, which means that the ketones can't cross the blood-brain barrier, which means that your brain, which is 7% of your body mass but takes up more than 20% of your energy resources – your brain's not getting the proper fuel sources anymore either, and especially when you're overly stressed out. And so, anywho, to get on the proper human diet, to fast, that's like one of the most important things. The other thing I think to do is to get yourself back into combat and start simulating combat. And that's why I say strangles. With something like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or combat sport, to be in a safe environment, to go back to a place of combat and stress and anxiety and make it through to the other side. Find yourself a community of people that you trust, which has a sense of hierarchy, which I think is very important for community.
Right.
It's a very distinct, unquestionable hierarchy, which is earned, right? Like, it's not like people are just handed belts in jiu-jitsu. You got to fucking choke enough people, right. You know what I mean, to earn your belt. And so it's like no one questions the hierarchy, just like in the military. You know, it's probably better than the military because sometimes they're like, why did that bitch get promoted? You know, but in a sense, it's like you honor the hierarchy.
I was infantry, so like a new lieutenant would come out of West Point and he's supposed to be the quote unquote platoon leader.
Yeah.
And now when you get into fucking combat and shit, he's telling people to do shit and the platoon sergeant's like, hey, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? He's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because he don't know what the fuck he's doing. All he did was sit at a desk. You know what I mean?
He's an admin guy.
Right.
So, yeah, and so the thing is, like, proper hierarchy, right?
Yeah,
like you said.
Yeah.
And so in jiu-jitsu, as in the tribes, you know what I mean? The guy who's in front talking or the girl who's in front talking fucking earned their place up there. You know what I mean? They choked enough people, you know what I mean, to say, like, you know what, like, this is where I belong. And then the people who are above you earn their time and rank and badassery, you know what I mean, through trial and tribulations on the mats. You don't get that hierarchy. You just get people who get promoted in front of you, like whatever. They have better degrees than you. So anyway, going to jiu-jitsu in a combat sport is a great way to get community. You all suck at jiu-jitsu. No one's going to go there naturally good at jiu-jitsu, right? So everyone kind of has like that shared trauma of fucking sucking and getting beat up for a while. And then it's also the trauma. So it's like if you're there and you feel like you're claustrophobic and you have a PTSD moment where it's like you start freaking out, you're not going anywhere. I don't care if you see red. That guy's – he's got side control. He's got mount. You're not going anywhere, I promise.
Right.
I don't care – like, I don't care that you, like, see red and bodies start dropping. I'm a trained person. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So you get not only humbled, you get put exactly where you belong in a hierarchy within a community. You got to earn your way up. It's delayed dopamine. But at the same time, you start to love these people. Just like in the military, you build camaraderie.
Right,
you bleed
right.
together. You sleep together. And you all sucked together at some point, you know? And so anyway, so I think jiu-jitsu is great. And then stoicism is a way to become responsible for your own actions, to become autonomous over your own actions and how you interact with the world. So a lot of people have been criticizing me online in comments saying, like, I was loving your stuff until you talked about stoicism. And like, I'm a Christian. I'm like, bitch, you know how many Christians were Stoics? You know how many Jews were Stoics? You know how many Muslims were Stoics?
Everybody used to be Stoic back in the day. They had to.
They had to be.
I think I'm more hard-headed than you are. Like, when you talk about I mean, I'm really Stoic, dude. Like, when you talk about PTSD, people accuse me of being PTSD, like, at work and shit. And I'm just like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, because I don't talk to a lot of people that I don't like, because a lot of people are full of shit. You understand?
Yeah.
So they act like I'm just fucking staring off in, you know, thinking about war or some shit. I just don't want to fucking talk to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and yeah, there was people that got PTSD and NAM and shit because they were forced to go there. I fucking went there. Me and you went there. We volunteered to go there. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, there's some bad shit that happens, but there was a lot more of that. Imagine fucking being yanked out of your fucking community and just put in the fucking jungle. I mean, that's 100% worse than anything that any of us went through. You know what I mean? Like, we knew what we were getting into. Maybe not 100%. You know, I'm not trying to shit on people that collect for PTSD or nothing, but, you know, I'm a disabled veteran. I collect because I got fucking, you'd be surprised, I'm doing a podcast because I got fucking hearing loss and tinnitus. And, you know, but that's just the way I look at it. I mean, if you look at the different groups that have been put through combat, I mean, if you were just fucking yanked out of your community and put there, that's a hell of a trauma right there, you know, but
I think so as well. And if you look at like a Civil War, you look at, you know, where people are just sawing off limbs.
Right, right.
World War One and World War Two, where it's like you had mustard gas in World War One and like no like Geneva Convention and
right.
like gas chlorine just making people suffocate on or like drown on land. You know what I mean? Like, this was insane shit. You know what I mean? And it's not like, hey, we ran a mission, we go back to the base. Like, World War II, it's like you're out in enemy territory until the fucking war is over.
Right.
You know, and so what's interesting is that we see that the suicidality and the PTSD and the mental health issues actually get better over time. And it's probably because they were on a better diet. And so what I see, it's like, I don't necessarily blame our veterans. It's like, yeah, I think that they probably will suffer more from PTSD because their brain is no longer has the resources in order to deal with the stress. And so I think you're exactly right. If they were given a proper human diet and they were given enough nutrients to handle this, then I think the PTSD would be a fraction. I was looking at some study about Civil War suicides was like in the hundreds. And that was a war that went on for a very long time. And almost every male in the country was a veteran. You know what I mean? Or dead right, at that right. point.
Yeah.
You know, we are talking about a very tiny fraction of soldiers in the American population. So, anywho, and now they have what? Probably over 40,000. I have to look at the numbers of suicides. You know what I mean? It's insane. So anyway, when we talk about Stoicism, I'm talking about the practical life philosophy. I'm not talking about a dogmatic religion. Stoicism is not a religion. It's not dogmatic. It does not require belief, and it does not actually get in the way of any religion. It enhances religion. As a matter of fact, multiple saints and religious figures were Stoic, you know what I mean, within the church. And in addition to that, there's the Serenity Prayer, right? Which is it's a Stoic-based serenity prayer.
Right.
Which is like, please give me the wisdom to know the difference between what I can and cannot change. You exactly. know what I mean? And
yes.
give me the strength to act on the things I can change. That's Stoicism. That's like Stoicism wrapped in a package. You know, so.
Right.
Anyway, so Stoicism is just a practical life philosophy that puts you in control of how you interact in the world. And so rather, you know, especially if you have PTSD, you're always scared of your environment because you don't know how you're going to react, and you blame the environment, you blame your past, you blame what's happened to you, and you just become a victim. And this says no, regardless of the environment, regardless of what has happened to me, I have the decision to choose. I am in control of my thoughts, and no one should have that sort of mastery over me. I need to have mastery over my own self, my own thoughts, and my own spirit. And regardless of all the fucking excuses that I could put on myself.
right.
And so it's like, yeah, that person could piss you off. You know, and to go back to what you said, no one can make you angry. No one can make you angry. You choose to become angry. And so, like you said, so what you can either start controlling, like, well, I'm just going to stop talking to that person as much. And when they do talk to me, I'm not going to engage really. You know what right. I mean? I'm not going to allow myself to be emotionally compromised. But what's also interesting is another Stoic principle is like, do less more. So like, I don't want 1,000 friends anymore. I want a couple friends that I appreciate 1,000-fold. Have less friends with more intention. Do less things in your life with more value. You know, so like, do less more is like a big tenet. So it's like, yeah, I don't really talk to you because it's like, I'm not going to waste time pretending. I don't like being not me. And there's nothing for us to talk about unless we're pretending.
You right. know, like, exactly. You got that shit right. So, yeah.
So do
your
job.
You hit the nail on the head right there. But, hey, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're coming up on, about an hour maybe, but I'd love to have you back, man.
Absolutely.
Right. Is there anything else that you want to say before we close out?
No, so stake strangles and stoicism, right? That's my belief. And if that's all you take from this, please look into a carnivore diet or a proper human diet. Look into getting your, if you're a combat vet, especially, or if you're a man who's suffering, look into maybe getting into a combat sport, getting into a community of people who know how to be badass. And they're probably going to share all your values too. I won't get into that. And look into right. getting into a practical life philosophy that is going to put you in control at the heart of how you interact with the world. And if you want to learn more about that, I'm going to give Fox here my link tree. And in my link tree, if you are like a combat vet who is struggling and you're like, I need help, I offer free half-hour consultations. I offer coaching sessions. There's communities out there. And even if you're not coaching with me, I can get you pointed in the right direction. I have a complete, comprehensive, holistic, the most well-built, I would say, introduction to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guide course online. And so if you have like some sort of hesitation or some sort of anxiety of getting started with jiu-jitsu or combat sport, but you've always wanted to, you watch Jocko Willink, you watch Joe Rogan, and you're like, gotta get started, but I have social anxiety, I'm scared. This is a course that's designed to build that, to bridge that gap. So anywho, like, contact me, get to know me a little bit more. Maybe I can help you. And so that's why I would just say that there is hope. I've cured myself of chronic illness that I dealt with 10 years, some of it being panic disorder, PTSD, brain fog, and on top of a litany of other physical problems. So if you're somebody like that and you want help and you don't want to be a victim and you want to start taking charge of your own health and mindset, I'll go ahead and give Fox my link tree for that.
All right. I'm not great with links and shit, but I'll give it a shot. I haven't started doing that yet, but
just, yeah, in the description, just I'll give you copy and paste right. that link.
Yeah. Nah, I appreciate what you're doing, brother, man. It's fucking great. And love to have you back on.
Absolutely.
So we'll stay in touch, you know. All right, any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com, conspiracysoldiers on Instagram, YouTube, all that shit. And Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.